Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your spirit. We thank you so much for the promises that are contained here with the Rhema word and the Logos word. We pray, God, may your word pierce our hearts. May it strengthen our soul. May it lessen our fears. May it take away our anxieties. May it give us marching orders. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. Bless us, please, as we look to your word by the power of your spirit. In Christ's name, amen. 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 So the 500-pound elephant in the room, well, gorilla in the room, elephants are not 500 pounds, they're more than that. 5,000-pound elephant in the room is what's going on in our country right now. So the question is, what is going on in the country? Why is it going on in the country? How is it going on in the country? Let me address a few of these things for you from the perspective of a pastor and a church. Number one, I am a realist conspiracy theory believer. I do not believe in the random chance of some virus being created and it's spreading. I don't believe in that, but here's the thing. You have to find that information yourself. This place here is not for that. My place as a pastor is not to share the truth of the world, it's to share the truth of the Bible. So you look it up, you find out what's going on. Maybe outside these doors, we can have a conversation out there. And, oh, yeah, I heard about China this, and I heard about, you know, Illuminati that, and I heard about this, and, yeah, that's interesting. In the end, the battle is good versus evil. No question about it. And in the end, good wins out because God wins. So what are you going to do between then and now? You're going to make yourself useless or useful? So what is the real issue that we're dealing with here? The real issue is fear and anxiety. I wrote down a couple of little things that I wanted to run by you guys. I believe that the devil is more pleased with the fear that has gripped the world now than he has with the disease that has gripped the world now. I believe if there's a joy in the devil's heart right now, in the ranks of the fearful, I'm sorry, not of the fearful, in the ranks of the enemy who spreads fear, it is that the victory that he is having now is people are afraid. Fear of the Lord is freedom. Fear that comes from or is of the enemy is bondage. What are you afraid of? What am I afraid of? Well, I'll tell you what, and I say this in a harshest way I can, you got a lot to be afraid of. This is a horrible disease. If you've not seen nor read what this virus does to people, especially people who are challenged in their immune system, it attacks their lungs, it kills their lung capacity, and if you cannot be put on a intubator or a ventilator, your lungs fill up with this pink to brown mucus. You have trouble gasping, and you shut down, and you die. Horrible story about a woman, I forget what state it was, the mother of 5 children, whose husband died a couple of years ago. She's a stage 4 lung cancer, breast cancer survivor. Did you read that story too? She's dead. Her kid's anywhere from age 24 to 13, and she's dead from this disease. This is a horrible, horrible way to die. So are the people who are huddled at home, who are not going into stores, who are not out there, are they stupid? No. They're not foolish people. Do you know they judge animals' intelligence based upon their fear? The deduction of fear is an excellent measure of intelligence. For somebody walks along the edge and they see what is down and they reckon to themselves, this way is better than that way, because if I walk that way, I'm going to fall down and get hurt. This is how animals are judged. I had Chihuahua. My Chihuahua was named Mia. Mia thought that I was God. For more than 16 plus years, that dog worshipped me. She would lick my toes every single morning. She would sleep in my bed every single night. All she desired was to be near me. Rightly so. But when there was a big dog that came by, the hair on the back of her neck would stand out. And she would go. But she was a chow, so it was more like. Was that fear or was that foolishness? Was that smarts or was it stupid? You might be right now asking, Ryan, where are you going with this? Listen, the question is not whether this is bad or good. This is bad. The question is not whether we're smart or we're stupid for gathering. The question is this: what are you willing to die for? What are you willing to die horribly for? Because if your whole idea of saying, I'm not afraid, well, that's great, but what are you doing with that courage? If you're not looking at the world right now and saying to yourself, man, people are freaking out, and I have the answer. The answer is in Christ. You need to know the Lord. If you're not looking at this time and place as the opportunity of a life, oh my goodness, you all, we have been chosen to live this life. Let me tell you something. Let me read you something before I go back to that. There have been 20 great plagues. Here are the 20 great plagues. There was the prehistoric epidemic circa 3000 BC. About 5,000 years ago, an epidemic wiped out a prehistoric village in China. The bodies of the dead were stuffed inside a house that was later burned down. No age group was spared. The skeletons of juveniles, young adults, middle-aged people were found inside the house. Archaeological site is now called the Hamin Mangka. It's one of the best preserved prehistoric sites in northeastern China. Archaeological and anthropological study indicates that the epidemic happened quickly enough, there was no time for proper burials, and the site was not inhabited again. Before the discovery of Hamin Mangka, another prehistoric mass burial that dates to roughly the same time period was found at the site called Myogusu in the northeastern China. Together, these discoveries suggest that an epidemic ravaged the entire region. The plagues of Athens, 430 BC. Around 430 BC, not long after war between Athens and Sparta began, an epidemic ravaged the people of Athens that lasted 5 years. Some estimates put death toll as high as 100,000 people. The Greek historian Thucydides, from 460 BC, wrote that people in good health were all of a sudden attacked by violent heats in the head and redness and inflammation in the eyes, the inward parts such as the throat or tongue becoming bloody and emitting an unnatural and fetid breath. What exactly this epidemic was has long been a source of debate among scientists. A number of diseases have been put forward as possibilities, including thyroid fever, Ebola. Many scholars believe that overcrowding caused by the war exacerbated the epidemic. Sparta's army was stronger, forcing the Athenians to take refuge behind a series of fortified fortifications called long walls that protected their city. Despite the epidemic, war continued on, not ending till 404 BC when Athens was forced to capitulate to Sparta. The Antonin plague of AD 165. When soldiers returned to the Roman Empire from campaigning, they brought back more than the spoils of victory. The Antonin plague, which may have been smallpox, laid waste to the army and may have killed over 5 million people in the Roman Empire, wrote April Pudsey, a senior lecturer in Roman history at Manchester University. Many historians believe the epidemic was first brought to the Roman Empire by soldiers returning home after the war at Parthia. The epidemic contributed to the end of Pax Roma, the Roman peace, a period of 27 BC to AD 180, when Rome was at the height of its power. The plague of Cyprian, AD 250. 5,000 people in one day alone in Rome. Mass burial sites have been discovered. Discharge from the body. Fire originated in the marrow. Cyprian wrote in Latin that a work called the De Mortalitiat, translation by Philip, Fathers, 3rd century. The plague of the Justinian Empire, 541 to 542. The Byzantine Empire was ravaged by the bubonic plague, which marked the start of its decline. The plague reoccurred periodically afterwards. Some estimates suggest that up to 10% of the world's population died from the bubonic plague. The Black Death of 1346 through 1353. The Black Death traveled from Asia to Europe, leaving devastation in its wake. Some estimates suggested that it wiped out over half of Europe's population. Half of Europe's population. It was caused by a strain of bacterium, Yersinia pestis, that is likely extinct today and was spread by the fleas on infected rodents. The bodies of victims were burned in mass graves. The plague changed the course of Europe history. With so many dead, labor became harder to find, bringing about better pay for workers and the end of Europe's system of serfdom. Studies suggest that surviving workers had better access to meat, higher quality bread. The lack of cheap labor may have also contributed to technological innovation. I don't know what that had to do with bubonic plague, but that was really weird facts. Coccolisti epidemic of 1545. The infection that caused that epidemic was a force of viral hemorrhagic fever that killed 15 million inhabitants of Mexico and Central America. Among a population already weakened by extreme drought, the disease proved to be utterly catastrophic. Coccolisti is the Aztec word for pest. A recent study examined DNA from the skeletons of victims found that they were infected with a subspecies of Salmonella, known as Salmonella paratyphi, which causes enteric fever, a category of fever that includes typhoid. The American plagues of the 16th century. The American plagues are a cluster of Eurasian diseases brought to Americas by European explorers. These illnesses included smallpox, contributed to the collapse of the Inca and Aztec civilizations. Some estimates suggest that 90% of the indigenous population of the Western Hemisphere was killed off. The diseases helped a Spanish force led by Hernan Cortes, the conqueror of Aztec, capital of whatever that word is, in 1519, and another Spanish force led by Francisco Pizarro, conqueror. The Aztec and Incan armies had been ravaged by disease and were unable to withstand the Spanish forces. The Great Plagues of London in 1665 through 1666, the Black Death's last major outbreak in Great Britain, caused a mass exodus from London, led by King Charles II. The plague started in April of 1665 and spread rapidly through the hot summer months. Fleas from plague-infected rodents were one of the main causes of transmission. By the time the plague ended, about 100,000 people, including 15% of the population of London, had died. But this was not the end of that city's suffering. On September 2nd, 1666, the Great Fire of London started, lasting 4 days and burning down a large portion of the city. You ask why it's so dangerous to have homeless embankments in every major city. Los Angeles, Washington, in what's the city in Washington now? Seattle, San Francisco. There are plagues and diseases popping up. We must do something about the homeless. 90%. Do you understand? They blame, quote unquote, they blame the white man for destroying the American Indians. It wasn't the white man. It was the diseases brought. 90% of the American Indians were wiped out by disease. The Great Plague of Marseille in 1720. Historical records say that the Great Plague of Marseille started when a ship called Grand Saint-Antoine docked in Marseille, France, carrying a cargo of goods from the eastern Mediterranean. Although the ship was quarantined, plague still got into the city, likely through the fleas on the plague-infested rodents. Plague spread quickly, and over the next 3 years, as many as 100,000 people may have died in Marseille and the surrounding areas. It's estimated up to 30% of the population of Marseille may have perished. The Russian Plague of 1770. In plague-ravaged Moscow, the terror-quarantined citizens erupted into violence. Riots spread through the city and culminated in the murder of Archbishop Ambrosius, who encouraged crowds not to gather for worship. The Empress of Russia, Catherine II, also called Catherine the Great, was so desperate to contain the plague and restore public order that she issued a hasty decree ordering that all factories be moved from Moscow. By the time the plague ended, as many as 100,000 people may have died. Even after the plague ended, Catherine struggled to restore order. In 1773, Yemelyan Pugachev, a man who claimed to be Peter III, Catherine's executed husband, led an insurrection that resulted in the deaths of thousands more. Philadelphia, yellow fever epidemic of 1793. When yellow fever seized Philadelphia, the United States capital at the time, officials wrongly believed that slaves were immune. As a result, the abolitionists called for people of Africa origin to be recruited to nurse the sick. The disease is carried and transmitted by mosquitoes, which experienced a population boom during that particularly hot and humid summer weather in Philadelphia that year. It wasn't stopped until winter arrived and the mosquitoes died out, and the epidemic finally stopped. By then, more than 5,000 people in the city of Philadelphia had died. The flu pandemic of 1889 through 1890. In the modern industrial age, new transport links made it easier for influenza viruses to wreak havoc. In just a few months, the disease spanned the globe, killing more than 1 million people. It took just 5 weeks for the epidemic to reach peak mortality. The earliest cases were reported in Russia. The virus spread rapidly through St. Petersburg before it quickly made its way throughout Europe and the rest of the world, despite the fact that air travel didn't even exist yet. In 1916, the American polio epidemic. The polio epidemic that started in New York City caused 27,000 cases and 6,000 deaths in the United States. The disease mainly affects children and sometimes leaves survivors with permanent disabilities. Polio epidemics occurred sporadically in the United States until the Salk vaccine was developed in 1954, and that vaccine became widely available. Cases in the United States declined. The last polio case in the United States reported in 1979. Worldwide vaccine efforts have greatly reduced the disease, although it is not yet completely eradicated. 1918 to 1920, the Spanish flu epidemic. An estimated 500 million people from South Seas to the North Pole fell victim to the Spanish flu. 1/5 of those died, with some indigenous communities pushed to the brink of extinction. The flu spread and lethality was enhanced by cramped conditions of soldiers and poor wartime nutrition that many were experiencing during World War I. Despite the name Spanish flu, the disease likely did not start in Spain. Spain was a neutral nation during the war and did not enforce strict censorship of its press, which could therefore freely publish early accounts of the illness. As a result, people falsely believed the illness was start in Spain. The Asian flu of 1957. The Asian flu pandemic was another global showing for influenza with its roots in China. The disease claimed more than 1 million lives. The virus that caused the pandemic was a blend of the avian flu viruses. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention notes that the disease spread rapidly and was reported in Singapore in February of 1957, Hong Kong in April 1957, and the coastal cities of the United States by the summer of 1957. The death toll was more than 1.1 million, with 116,000 deaths occurring in the United States alone. The AIDS pandemic and epidemic, 1981 to the present day, AIDS has claimed an estimated 35 million lives since it was first identified. HIV is the virus that caused AIDS, likely developed from a chimpanzee virus that transferred to humans in West Africa in the 20s. The virus made its way around the world, and AIDS was a pandemic by the late 20th century. Now about 64% of the estimated 40 million living with HIV live in sub-Saharan Africa. For decades, the disease had no known cure, but medication developed in the 1990s now allows people with disease to experience a normal lifespan with regular treatment. Even more encouraging, two people have been cured of HIV as of early 2020. And lastly, no, not lastly, I'm sorry, I have a few more. H1N1 swine flu pandemic, 2009 and 2010. In 2009, swine flu pandemic was caused by a new strain of H1N1 that originated in Mexico in the spring of 2009 before spreading to the rest of the world. In 1 year, the virus infected as many as 1.4 billion people across the globe and killed between 151,000 and 575,000 people, according to the CDC. In 2009, flu pandemic primarily affected children and young adults, and 80% of the deaths were in people younger than 65, the CDC reported. This was unusual, considering that most strains of flu virus, including those caused by the seasonal flu, caused the highest percentage of death in people 65 and older. But in the case of the swine flu, older people seem to have already built up enough immunity to the group of viruses that H1N1 belongs to, so weren't affected as much. A vaccine for the H1N1 virus that caused the swine flu is now included in the annual flu vaccine. Last two. West African Ebola epidemic, 2014 to 2016. Ebola ravaged West Africa between 2014 and 2016, with 28,600 reported cases and 11,325 deaths. The first case to be reported was in Guinea in December 2013. The disease quickly spread to Liberia, Sierra Leone. The bulk of the cases and deaths occurred in those three countries. A smaller number of cases occurred in Nigeria, Mali, Senegal, the United States, and Europe. Center for Disease Control Prevention reported there is no known cure for Ebola. Although efforts at finding a vaccine are ongoing, the first known case of Ebola occurred in Sudan and the Democratic Republic of Congo in 1976, and the virus may have originated, they say, in bats. And lastly, which brings us to present day, the Zika virus epidemic. The impact of the recent Zika epidemic in South America and Central America won't be known for several years. In the meantime, scientists face a race against time to bring the virus under control. The Zika virus is usually spread through mosquitoes of the Aedes genus, and although it can also be sexually transmitted in humans. While Zika is not harmful to adults or children, it can attack infants who are still in the womb and causes birth defects. The type of mosquitoes that carry the Zika flourish best in warm, humid climates, making South America, Central America, and parts of the southern United States primary areas for the virus to flourish. Why did I do that? Did I do that to freak you out? Did I do it to scare you? No, I did it to tell you that these things have always been. The question still remains that I started before I read to you all those horrible things. What will you do? Will you rejoice in the Lord and say, God, thank you for allowing me to be born in a time and a place where I can be useful to help others? Or will you be frozen in fear? William Wallace said, if this is your army, then why does it flee? He said, the answer was, We didn't come here and fight for them. So what are you going to do? We will run and we will live. Aye? Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. Dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom? I'm not promising you won't die. I'm not telling you that being here right now isn't more dangerous than being home. It is. You don't know who's got this thing. You don't know who was on a plane, met somebody, sneezed. You don't know. I'm saying, what are you doing here? Are you here because you want to get filled up with the Word of God so you can go give it out? Or are you here to give the finger to the man? This was created. I ain't afraid of no disease. You better be afraid. What are you going to do with that fear? Or better question, not what are you going to do with that fear, what are you going to do with that courage? Me and my wife had a long chat yesterday morning. Why are you having church, Ryan? All the pastors are closing their churches. Why are you doing that? I know what fear is now. A few years ago, I had a weekend of fear for 3 or 4 days. I lived in a pit of fear, panic-stricken, afraid to move, my mind closing in on me. I'd rather have died than lived like that. I was very, very close to having suicidal thoughts. No, I was having suicidal thoughts. You'd be better off dead. You can't live like this. I can't live like this. I can't live like this. This is no way. This has got to end. God, what am I going to do? I can't live. I know what fear is. Ain't no way am I going back there. God pulled me out of that, just like he wants to pull anybody that might be here or at home. Yeah, but if we stay home, we'll live, and then we'll have the opportunity to share the love of Christ with people. You share the love of Christ with more people when you're alive than when you're dead, Ryan. Yeah. But how often are you going to get an opportunity like this when the whole world is freaking out? You can go into any restaurant you want that's open right now, and they're only having takeout, and it's just you and the people there. Hey, how's it going? You know, I'd rather die than live in fear. I said that to the guy. We went to First Watch this morning. I went there, and hey, how's it going? By the way, he completely screwed up my order, but that's no. How you doing? The guy's wearing gloves, and he's, here's your order. Thank you. How you doing, man? Staying away from this thing? I looked at him and I said, I'd rather die than live in fear. And the guy did a double take. That's a good one, man. That's a good one. I said, God gave me life so that I could tell others that they can have life in God too. What should I do? Sit home and worry about it? Listen, I might look like the biggest jerk. It could be that this disease grips me. It could be. I could get sick and I could be in a hospital trying to breathe. Listen, there's nothing more miserable than not being able to breathe. If you've ever done jiu-jitsu, if you've ever done any kind of sport, if you've ever had a, what's that? A respiratory, an asthma attack. Oh my goodness. There is nothing worse. This is horrible. So if you are here to thumb the man, if you're here because you're not going to be afraid, I'm asking you again, what are you going to do with the courage? Not with the fear. If I could sit dying in my bed, hacking up my guts, my children saying, you should have just stayed home for a few weeks. Look at you now. You're not going to watch your grandchildren grow. I have to be able to look at God and say, I entered a fight. I knew the outcome could be this. I knew this could be the outcome. Shall I live in fear? Should I sit at home worrying? Oh, I don't want to get it. Put a mask on. Putting a mask on might not be a bad idea. You go about your day. I'm not saying, listen, I am not making fun of people who are taking care of themselves by any stretch of the imagination. This is my choice. In the amazing scene from Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, in the final battle, Aragorn stands looking at army 100 times the size of his. And they're coming out of the black gate and they start to get surrounded. And he looks at his men and they're all, oh, and he says to them, sons of Gondor, of Rohan, my brothers, I see in your eyes the same fear that would take the heart of me. A day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake our friends and break all bonds of fellowship, but it is not this day. An hour of wolves and shattered shields, when the age of men comes crashing down, but it is not this day. This day, we fight. And you watch that scene. I watched that scene yesterday 12 times. And I visualize myself in that scene. And you're like, listen, put yourself there for a second. It's not that far away. You're on a horse. Or you're standing on the ground and you got a sword. And you're looking at hordes of people. There's no way you're winning. No way. How do you want to die? Hiding under something? Getting shot in the back because you're running away? Or do you want to die head on, head down, driving forward? That's the question you got to ask yourself. You know the verse, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. In the book of Revelation, there's a verse where he depicts the whole plan of salvation. And he says, these men, they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. They did not love their lives unto death. They reckoned that faith was better than fear, honor than dishonor, death not without a purpose. This sounds like a whole bunch of movie scenes and a whole bunch of gallant. Do you think that our Savior did? He said, through whoever it is that wrote Hebrews, Paul maybe, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us therefore lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Courage? Fear? He sat in the Garden of Gethsemane so freaked out that he bled drops of sweat. And he looked down at the ground, probably. He said, Father, if there's another way, there's any other way. Now, am I just trying to charge you up? Heaven, yeah! Make a deal with God. God, I'm going to have no fear, but here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go to Publix, I'm going to go to Walmart, I'm going to go to Costco, I'm going to go to BJ, wherever it is that you show, and I'm just going to tell two people in each place about you. That's going to be my task. And then hide out the rest of the day. That's fine. Man, you know, Netflix time. Binge watch The Office. You can't go better than that. It's great. What do you want, baby girl? What do you keep making faces at me for? Tell me what to say. Tell me, puppet master. What? For you guys that are watching at home, my wife is not going to tell me what to say. Honey, I've talked about that. That's exactly what I'm saying. There's a cost for this. I'm not joking. You can die. To be smart and to be wise, to keep your hands clean. But the whole idea is to give God space. What will you do with the courage? Because if all you're going to do with the courage is tell other people how courageous you are, and I'm not afraid, you're full of crap. The idea is to be wise. My father-in-law is not here. Nathan's not here. You know why? They're dead. No, they're dead if they get it. It's all over. You're not talking about medication. You know, if Papa or Nathan get this disease, it's over for them. Which one? Is that a wise man sees trouble? Right. Well, I'm making that clear, but I don't want to dwell there so much so that I make it like, listen, so here, let me give you the scenario of a great day, and I know I haven't gotten to John 6 yet, and I might not at this point, depending on how. But here's the scenario. You get up in the morning, and you go around your house, and you spray the house down with disinfectant, you wipe it down. You get ready for your day, and you make sure your kids are washed and ready. And then, before that, hopefully, you spend some time in prayer, and you say, God, today, I'm going to tell 10 people about you, 10 people. And then you get in your car, you drive to Publix, and you go get some groceries, and stop buying so much stinking toilet paper and paper towels. Okay, please stop. I need some, and I just need some for obvious reasons. And you tell two people you are, hey, excuse me, you're buying that stuff? Listen, I know this is weird, but I just want to tell you God's in control and he loves you, okay? And you do that two or three more times. Maybe somebody amens you. And then you go back in your car and you wash your hands again. Make sure you got no more junk on them. And you go to the next place and you do it. And when you've reached 10, you get back home. Before you get in your house, you wash up again. You make sure everything's clean. But the idea is to be wise and courageous. What will you do with your courage? But what will you do with your fear? Will you be... Let's go to John chapter 6, please. In John chapter 6, let's go through the whole thing. It's only 12 o'clock. We have another hour. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. Don't ever forget that. God still heals. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, now a Passover, a feast of the Jews was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing the great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But he said this to test him, for he knew himself what he would do. I've thought this, and I don't know if this is the right place to inject that thought, but how much food do we want to hoard? There's a very spooky movie during this time. I suggest you watch it just for perspective on true haunting. And it's not a horror movie. It's a movie called The Road. I've mentioned it before. It's a very haunting movie because it's a little too real. And the question is this. Say you have 3 months worth of food and all the food in the world is gone. By the way, fact. The United States currently has 30 days worth of food should all of our imports stop. 30 days. That's it. Huh? Yeah. I started garden. White flies ate every freaking bit of it. Unless you can eat some lavender, which tastes terrible. I hate it. I hate those white flies. Oh, they drive me crazy. Not as easy as it sounds. So what are you going to do? You're going to die in another 30 days. Well, I mean, what are you going to, how long? You're hoarding food for what? Well, what if we don't have food for like 20 days and then the food starts again? What if? Man, get your food, be smart, but what are you doing with your fear? God will feed you. God will feed you. Skip all the way down to verse 16. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and got into the boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. I want you to see verse 17. There's something in a phrase there. It's already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. How many of us think, where is God? Does this still pandemic, epidemic, whatever you want to call it, shake your faith? Because if God is so good, why is he allowing this to happen? I just read you billions of deaths from plague and disease. Why? Why does God allow this to happen? Because life and death are the same to God. And whether we like the sovereign hand of God upon our lives when things are good. Matt, you were born in a time of great prosperity. Your whole life, this country has been successful. Your whole life. I just read to you about hundreds and hundreds of ages of men who saw horror. Anybody here brought up in a communist country? Anybody here? Cuban or? No? You talk to them. I talked to somebody. We had somebody from Nicaragua come in. We're doing business with these guys in Nicaragua. And we're talking about what happened. He said, oh, he comes from a very wealthy family in Nicaragua. What happened? The socialists took office. And then what happened? They confiscated all our land and all our money. I'm like, what? He said, yeah. The socialists took control of the government and they took all of their land and all their money. He said he came from a very wealthy family. His family was super rich as far as Nicaraguans go. Millions of dollars. And it's all gone. They took it. They just took it. Under the name of socialism. Right, which becomes authoritarianism, which becomes communism, which is communism. Where is God? It's dark. Verse 16, verse 17. Got into the boat, went over the sea of toward Capernaum, and it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, did anybody ever try to row a boat? Anybody ever row a boat?
Hard work.
Rowing a boat is a bear, especially if the waves are coming and you're, oh my goodness, your shoulders. One time, me and my wife, we went on anybody know where Fish Eating Creek is? Fish Eating Creek is like outside of Sebring, I think. And we got into a canoe, and we were going to go. It was like, the long one was 7 miles, and the short one was 2 miles?
Kayak, yeah.
And as we got into this thing, we went down one waterway. It was really nice. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, we looked down the side bank, and there was a little alligator that came into the water, a little tiny alligator. And my wife was like, oh, my goodness, I don't like alligators, honey. I'm like, oh, don't worry about it, baby. We went to the next waterway, and there was alligators all over the bank, 3 and 4 footers. And now she is like the whole time. And I said, baby, is this a couple miles, and here we are in this kayak. And as we're going down one waterway to another water, to every single thing, everywhere from this big to this big, and they're just going in the water under the boat. And you're looking, and they're just swimming under the boat. Listen to me. I am not exaggerating. Ask if I'm lying. I'll show you a video. Austin was grabbing them out of the water, and hey, look, we're going to eat this. And they were everywhere. I'm not talking about a couple. I'm not talking about dozens, hundreds of alligators. And then we went into this one big area after one of the waterways, and it was like a big lake open area, and there were some 8 and 10 footers up on the banks. And then all of a sudden, we stop on one little island dude, this is a great day. We should do this one day. And we go on this little island there to eat some lunch, and we're eating lunch on the island. We open up our thing, and she's like, oh, we're surrounded. She's got no paddle in her hand. And all of a sudden, we hear this splash. We're like, what's that? We look on the island just 50 yards away, and there's like a 9-foot gator with a 4-foot gar in his mouth. And now all the big alligators are surrounding the island, waiting for him to start chewing it up so they can get their piece of it. We had like Discovery Channel going on right then and there. And the fear that could have ruined our trip, it was palpable. And we were on that boat. See, they said they rode 3 or 4 miles. I guarantee you that took a few hours. And when you're rowing 3 or 4 miles and you're like, and it's dark out and Jesus is nowhere in sight. Nowhere in sight.
God bless you.
Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him in the boat, and immediately the boat was at land where they were going. What I love about the immediate word there, where you are right now is immediate. Now, this sounds a little weird, like I'm not making any sense. It might not, but listen to me. You are exactly where God wants you to be. In the center of your fear, in the center of your worry. What is courage? It's not the absence of fear. It's the ignoring of fear. Courage is not fear not being there. There is no courage without fear. He's in the boat already. Let him in. How do you let him in the boat? How does this whole thing play out from the spiritual? How do we apply this in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual life that we live? You that are panic-stricken and fearful and worried, be careful. But commit your works to the Lord that your thoughts will be established. commit these things. I will tell 5 people today about God. I will take this opportunity that every single person around me is singing about mortality. You know what's the craziest thing? If you sit at home and all you do is watch the news, you freak out. And then all of a sudden you walk out of your house and there's people riding their bicycles and in the parks and you're like, hey, how come they're not all freaked out? You think you're alone and all this tragedy. And all of a sudden you go outside and you're at the store. It's like, hey, how's it going? You see the spring breakers on the beach. And now, not that they're any smart, they're not smart or anything, but You find the right mixture. All right. I hope that I filled you guys with enough information and knowledge about what you should be and where you should be to be effective. Matt, it's a great time to be alive. It is, man. It's a great time to be alive. If you're a Marine or were a Marine, you are trained to be a killer. That's what they train you for in the Marine Corps, to kill. To kill a lot, and to kill without thought of it. You are a killer. What makes the ground, what makes the grass grow? Blood, blood, blood. And then all of a sudden, you have a time of peace, and you have all these trained killers with no place to go and nothing to do and nobody to kill. How sad. Well, you, Christian, are a trained lifer. You have the keys to the kingdom in your hand. The Bible says, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Who you let in the kingdom will get in. In your whole lives, you've waited for a time where, man, I wish somebody would come up to me and say, you know, what must I do to be saved? I wish God would, like, I'm not bold about stuff like that. I'm a little, you know, and I got a lot of problems with my life. And you know, so it's like, I got a lot of faith problems too. I doubt. I have doubts. But I wish that God would just bring me somebody and they'd say, hey, what must I do to be saved? And God just allowed something. Let's not even claim to know. He just allowed something to happen in our lives, guys, that the whole world, I mean, listen to me. This is the whole world. I have a shipment in Africa right now. A whole big shipment I have leaving Ghana, Africa. The guy texts me this morning and said, oh, Mr. Ryan, your shipment no get there. The government shut down in fear. We no ship you. The whole planet. Man, the planet. Say again? Huh?
You on Wish again?
No. We ain't far from that, but again, like I said, I don't know if you were here at the beginning when I talked about that. I'm not a non-believer in that stuff. I just don't believe that right now is the place and time for it. That's not my, well, my job to do is to get you guys, you can believe in one world government, you can believe that this is the Illuminati, you can believe that all the pedophiles are getting arrested, you can believe in this is a big plan to take the president, you can believe in all that stuff, but if you believe that and you're not sharing the love of Christ, you failed. You can know the truth about every conspiracy, every sneaky trick. You can know the truth about all that stuff if you are not sharing the love of Christ with a world that is in complete and utter panic right now. Then you've failed. You've failed. And if you allow fear to grip you so much that you don't leave your house, I don't care if you go to the park and go for walks and go fishing, and if you're not sharing the love of Christ with somebody who needs it, you failed. You failed. This is what I'm talking about, Matt. We dream our whole lives to be like a Marine. You're a killer. You're a lifer. You've been trained since the day you got saved to just not be saved, but to save others. And now you've got the chance. God did say, oh, did you want him to do it to everybody else but not you? Why do you think I started today's message by telling you this is a horrible death? I know the consequences of this thing. I've looked them up. This is the corona disease bad. This thing's bad. It's a painful. This ain't like, you know, there's an old saying, would you rather get 5 in the chest or 1 in the head? Would you rather get shot 5 times in the chest or once in the head? Of course everybody gets shot. This is five in the chest. Yeah, this disease ain't good. You got that one now?
No.
So the point is, to be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you. Go out. I got to hear next week some stories, guys. We got to be here next week. We have to have cops now. Hey, we're not supposed to gather more than 10. I ain't stopping. Not unless, you know, listen. Hey, I'm going to be smart. If we find out somebody in the congregation got this thing, you know, we're going to have to stop gathering because I can't risk that stupidity. But other than that, we're going to be here and hopefully do the same thing. I'm going to charge you all up. You got to share the love of Christ. I don't care how old you are in the Lord. You got to share the love of Christ with people now. You wait your whole life for this battle. You wait your whole life for this fight. It's like whatever you've been trained for. Who wants to go to chef school and never cook a meal? Who wants to train kickboxing and never have a fight? I was going to make fun of people who do CrossFit. Who wants to do CrossFit and never do whatever it is that you do? Do a burpee in front of somebody. I don't know. It's just a funny story as I end with this. My jiu-jitsu coach is Rafael, and Rafa always, when guys come and we ask him what they do, he goes, oh, I do CrossFit, and they're always looking in good shape. He goes, oh, so if somebody breaks in your house, you're going to do a burpee in front of them, right? Anyway. Yes, Karen?
I have something. Yesterday I was out, and I went to Krispy Kreme to get donuts.
Wise choice. She said she went to Krispy Kreme yesterday. By the way, the crunchy blueberry is my personal favorite if you're ever there again. Although, before I do close, I did want to tell you, here's the thing, though. almost as good as telling people about the love of Christ. I'm glad you reminded me of that. Hey, guys, I'm in the business of mail order. So right now people are staying home and ordering a lot. So it's almost like other people's misery is kind of my boom in business. And I'm thinking to myself right now, even as Karen was saying that, there's waiters and waitresses. I've got a buddy of mine, very wealthy man, lives around the corner. He owns a hotel. Came over to my house the other day crying. Ryan, I just had to let 25 people go. 25 people. I had to tell them I can't pay them. And you're not talking about a situation where, you know, his payroll is $50,000 every 2 weeks, because it's all money coming in from the hotel and the rooms, and he said his hotel has got six people in it. You know, and so how about this? If you are also like me, and this is a time of plenty for you, or you've saved some, why don't you find a couple of people that are hurting right now and say, hey man, can I pay your mortgage for you this month? I know that times are tough. You know, go to Publix and get some gift cards. Be, you know, the James, the Lord's brother, he said, if you tell people be warm and be filled, but you don't give them the things that they need to be warm and filled, what have you done for them? Nothing. So let's give the love of Christ, but let's also give the love of Christ. Amen to that one too? Dan?
Bigger issue into the flu season then, and this, my saying is absolutely
And Dan will be here afterward if you guys have any questions about details. Rocky, did you want to say something?
Yeah, let me say something. Last night I was in the pool because Century Village still, the pools are still open. So it was like 20 people in the pool and we're all talking to each other 6 feet apart. We're trying to stay safe. And I said, I'm going to church tomorrow. So everybody chatted at me, you know, the Catholic churches are all closed. Your church is not going to be open. And I said, no, I called. I asked, you know, Veronica, Denise. No, we haven't church. They said, definitely, excellent, must come. So I said to all these people, they said, you think that's safe? Why are you going? And then I said, to hear the word so I can come back tonight and tell you guys the message. And now I can pass that message on, and I can pass your message today. So I'm going to do 20 people.
That's right.
My game is 20 people.
Amen.
Yeah. No,
let's close in prayer. And guys, you can hang out afterward and talk and just don't kiss. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that even in the darkness when we don't see you, you're there. We know that you are already in the boat and immediately we're on ground, as your word says. God, please take the movie quotes and the strong sentiments that we spoke today and make sense of them for us, please, that we would use this to be bold witnesses for you. May we never shrink back. May we never find ourselves in fear, but may we be wise with all things that you've given us. We love you and thank you and ask you to bless us with, God, this week, please set appointments, big time appointments. May we hear those words, what must I do to be saved, God, and help us to have just the right answer for the right person. Save the lost, God, during this time. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen. God bless you.